96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This is Earth Day, a day to consider and to support environmental protection. But what does this day mean for African Americans? Are we part of the movement? What does it mean to us? Joining me to talk about those questions and more are Vernice Miller Travis, owner of the environmental consulting group Miller Travis and Associates, Mustafa Ali, associate director of the Office of Environmental Justice at the EPA, and Leslie Fields, Director of Environmental Justice and Community Partnerships for the Sierra Club, D.C. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you
for having us.
Let's get right to this question that I asked at the top. Environmental protection, African-American community. You know, Mustafa, is that something that a lot of people know goes together or not? I mean, are African-Americans known to be high-profile participants in environmental protection?
I think it depends on how you actually begin to define environment. Or environmentalism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the environmental justice movement actually started because folks of color weren't actually invited into the conversation that was happening in many of the larger green organizations, if you will. So I would say that there is a growing understanding of how African Americans and other people of color play a role in the environment. If you look around the country, and some things that folks may not be aware of, there are literally thousands of organizations that are out there across the country who are working on environmental justice. And I think that that's the important distinction that we talk about environmental justice, which actually puts people back into the environmental movement, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And as we move forward, you know, we'll probably unpackage that and talk about all the opportunities that exist, all the wonderful folks who are actually out there doing incredible things, lots of times with limited funds. But there still are challenges that are happening inside of our communities. Many, many impacts.
But historically, haven't black folks always been part of recycling and reusing because of the circumstances under which they lived in this country?
African Americans have come from the land. Our folks came from the land, no matter whether it's in the United States, the Caribbean, and other countries, South America and Africa. One third of African Americans are anglers, are fisher people. And you see folks everywhere. Here in D.C., in the Anacostia, they're fishing. But the problem is there are fish advisories because there's so much mercury pollution on our waterways. African Americans have been growing gardens forever, have been farming forever, and there's a very robust national farmers movement. And so African Americans really care about their land. They really care about their quality of life. They really care about the quality of their children's schools, indoor and outdoor. So we have never not been a part of it. It's the, as Mustafa said, the formal aligning with organizations. And we have gardeners associations. We did victory gardens during the war. And my late grandmother, who just passed away in October, was 98. I mean, she still kept that tinfoil. She still recycled, you know, and they, you know, made her own clothes. And so we're very much about reuse and recycle and being real good stewards of the land and our resources.
I see we are kindred spirits. Everybody else says aluminum foil. I say tin foil, too. So, Vernice, there was a really frightening story that came out Friday about an issue in Northeast Washington. Six people diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, at least seven women diagnosed with breast cancer in 18 months. Can you give me your thoughts on this? Is this an anomaly? Obviously, we don't have all of the facts, but does this, in your mind, point to an issue related to the environment, or is it something else?
It It certainly could be an issue related to the environment. And one of the issues that the community itself are raising is that there's a water project going on with the Washington Department of Water and Sanitary Sewage Commission, and they're doing a big dig. And as they've been doing this project, the quality of people's drinking water in the surrounding neighborhood has changed dramatically. And the community is asking, is there a relationship between this project, its impact on our water quality, and its impact on our health? I wish I could say that that community is the only community that has concerns of that nature, but there are thousands of communities, African American and other communities of color across this country, that are fighting very, very serious public health issues, whether it's asthma or excess levels of death from asthma, whether it's cancer clusters, whether it's respiratory disease, whether it's heart disease, whether it's diabetes, and how those issues are interacting with one another. We are fighting for our lives in communities across this country, and it has everything to do with the quality of the environment where we live.
I want to dig a little deeper with that in just a bit, but I want to make sure that we get to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Mo, calling from Washington, D.C., you have a comment. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
How are you doing?
Good, good.
Good. Well, my comment is this. You know, I grew up in Africa for the first half of my life. I came to the United States when I was about 12 years old. What I've noticed is, you know, in Africa, everything is grown and everything is fresh. The foods we eat, everything is fresh. There's nothing being processed. There's nothing being microwaved the next day. So I noticed that up here, it's kind of different. And I feel like the disconnect is because we're dealing with so many other social injustice issues as African Americans that we tend to forget a little bit about the environment and the air that we breathe and, you know, the foods that we put into our bodies, because we're always also constantly on the go.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that I've noticed most is just that we're always so much on the go that we forget that, you know, raw fruits and vegetables are good for you.
Yeah.
You know, we're always wanting to pick up something on the go. And on top of that, once again, the social injustice issues are just surprisingly too much, even still now, in this day and age.
Well, Mo, I need to take a break, but thank you so much for your thoughtful comments. I'll have our panelists react to that after the break. We're talking about Earth Day and environmental issues, not just environmental justice. What's going on with green jobs? What are you doing in your community to make the environment better? 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 and WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. On this Earth Day, we're talking about African Americans and environmental issues. My guests are Vernice Miller Travis, owner of the environmental consulting group Miller Travis and Associates, Mustafa Ali, Associate Director of the Office of Environmental Justice at the EPA, and Leslie Fields, Director of Environmental Justice and Community Partnerships for the Sierra Club, D.C. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. I'd like to have one of you, respond to what Mo was talking about earlier. He said he was, you know, raised, you know, overseas in Africa for the first part of his life, moved here later, and he talked about the freshness of foods and things coming from the ground, you know, the natural way. And here he just said it's different, and he believes it has, you know, a direct effect on our bodies and how we live. Would you mind, Leslie,
sure,
talking about that?
Thank you. Well, Mo makes a great comment. I mean, the it's not just our on-the-go lifestyle. It's the processed food that has been pretty much inserted in our communities and without any other options. And the term food desert has been used, but I like to use the term food apartheid, because desert implies like a naturally occurring condition. And the reason why we don't have fresh foods in our communities has been a structural system as part of the segregation. It's part of the redlining in terms of insurance. You can't get insurance for your businesses in our communities. It's part of not having good public transit to these food where you can have markets. And there is wonderfully now a farmers market movement, and we're seeing more of that. But there's lots of corridors in our city. The Rhode Island Avenue corridor, the H Street corridor until recently, didn't have a supermarket, and also in Ward 7 and 8. And so it's there are very few good supermarkets. So it is not an accident. It is not osmosis that these things happen, that they're planned, and it's been a deliberate, you know, just like the targeting of our neighborhoods for liquor stores and cigarettes and the little shops that only had the processed food and the fast food shops. So it's a real problem, and it, you know, contributes to the poor health that we see and the poor health outcomes in our community.
But I would just add one thing that Mo said that I'd like to suggest he maybe we think and the audience rethink is that he said the other social injustices mm-hmm. are occurring, and then we don't think about the environmental issues. The environmental issues are part of and part and parcel of the other social injustices that are happening. It's not a separate issue. It's environmental racism. And we're trying to respond to that with an affirmation of environmental justice, that people need to be treated fairly. They need to have access to all the good things that make life enjoyable, that people can grow and thrive. They don't need to be the place where all the bad things are, the landfills, the waste transfer stations, the incinerators. You know, all the things that people don't want seem to wind up where we are. That's not an accident. And that's the environment, right? So it's all one conversation. It's not separate.
I want to ask you about some examples on the other side of this break. So please keep that in mind. If you were on the phone, that includes Victoria in Gaithersburg and Jasmine in Washington, D.C. Stay with me. You will be able to hear the program on the phone, and I will take your call. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More about the environment and the role that it plays in the lives of African Americans. And what you're doing about it as well. We'll be back in a bit.